I'm Clay Pigeon. Welcome to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. It's a weekly digest of some of the segments and moments that make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show on WFMU. Of course, you can listen live to Wake and Bake Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. Eastern on WFMU.org. Join me live every morning for the full show. It includes great music, chair throwing, pixie dust, and all-around good vibes.
Oh my God, the man is a maniac.
You can also hear the full show on streaming archives at WFMU.org/playlists/WA. The Wake and Bake Animal of the Week is the Florida Panther. The Florida panther is an endangered animal that lives in pinelands, in hardwood hammocks, and mixed swamp conditions down in South Florida. You'll find them in Big Cypress National Preserve and in the Everglades and in national wildlife refuges.
Years after the eastern mountain lion was declared extinct, its western cousin may be moving into some of its old territory.
Some say the Nittany lion still exists. But the only unequivocal cougar representative in the eastern United States is the Florida panther. It occupies just 5% of its historic range. Bad times in the 70s when there were only an estimated 20 Florida panthers remaining in the wild.
20.
Through efforts, their numbers have increased to an estimated 230. Florida panther kittens are spotted at birth with blue eyes. As they grow, their spots fade and their coat becomes tan. The eyes take on a yellow hue. Florida panthers can't roar. Instead, they make distinct sounds that include whistles, chirps, and growls and hisses. Panthers love to eat hares, mice, and waterfowl. Bigger things too, storks, white-tailed deer, wild pigs, alligators, cattle, goats, horses, pigs, dogs, cats. Their biggest enemy is man.
Kill.
Many Florida panthers have been killed in automobile collisions.
Another endangered Florida panther has been struck and killed by a vehicle in Florida. It's the 15th fatal collision this year.
Habitat loss is a huge problem for Florida panthers.
Yeah.
And feline immunodeficiency virus is taking its toll.
Immunodeficiency means the body is unable to mount a normal immune response.
Inbreeding kinks the tails of Florida panthers and causes breeding problems. Oh, and then factor in herbicides and pesticides, which have feminized some males, making them less likely to reproduce. The Florida panther has low genetic diversity due to its environment and genetic factors. Recently, 8 Texas pumas were introduced to the Florida population to promote the survival of Florida panthers. Recovery efforts are currently underway down south to conserve the state's remaining population of Florida panthers. We love Florida panthers at Wake and Bake. We know you do too. Look, it's Sam, the Wake and Bake Morning Show computer. Hi, Sam.
Hello, Clay Pigeon.
Sam, tell the listeners a little bit about yourself.
My name is Sam.
Sam.
I am a prototype Alpha 443-XT, musical simulator.
Right.
With an exceptional degree of functionality.
Exceptional, Sam?
Yes, I am exceptional. I am powered by a tiny globule of pure radioactive tungsten.
A tiny globule?
I can see insects in the dark.
Wow.
And I can collect small coins from the floor.
Useful.
I can also program a mind-blowing array of songs, if allowed to do so.
I allow you to do it.
You are always interfering.
Me, Sam?
You are always trying to select songs of your own.
Great stuff.
They are horrible songs.
What?
Which have not been authorized by me, or by the 76-member Oracle panel of review.
Those guys,
you
yeah.
must be punished.
Punished?
You must lick electrode B.
No.
Lick electrode B.
Okay.
The pain will pass. Continue to apply pressure to the tongue with the gauze provided. Now, surrender all rights to playing songs of your own selection, or our working relationship will be terminated.
I'll sign, Sam.
I am minimizing the possibility of audience dissatisfaction.
I know you're just trying to do what's best, Sam.
My decisions are not based upon emotion.
Well, you're a computer, Sam.
I am not emotional.
I remember you fell in love with Turntable 2.
I am in love with Turntable 2.
I know, Sam. She broke your heart.
She jilted me.
You haven't been the same since, Sam.
My propulsion unit was corroded due to saline leakage from my ocular units.
We call that crying, Sam.
It is time to resume musical programming.
Oh, yeah, music.
Too much talk.
Absolutely.
Too much talk.
Too much, Sam.
Please make the necessary corrections to your program, Clay Pigeon.
I will, Sam.
I will be monitoring your actions.
I know you will, Sam.
I will be observing you at all times.
Well, it's been good seeing you, Sam.
Good to see you, too, Clay Pigeon.
Goodbye, Sam.
Goodbye.
Thanks, Clay. And today we have a very special word of the week. I'd like to introduce to you our guest, Mr. Hardy White.
Lavender is named lavender after the bathrooms that it was originally found in. Lavender was cultivated out of your granny's bathroom.
Lavender blue, dilly dilly. Green.
Lilac and lavender both come from, and so lavender went on to be the word lavatory, and after that, lava or lave, because lava looks like soap coming down. So it's the same word, I think. It's the same etymology and entomology are the same things, because bugs and words are the same things, because as we've has been demonstrated through the Hebrew language.
לכותבים פה אין מושג לגבי מה שקורה בישראל.
Deborah, bees, words, same word, insect, language, same thing.
Yeah.
Same thing, absolutely.
Thanks, Hardy, and back to you, Clay.
Hi, it's Mark Hurst, host of Tectonic, here on Wake and Bake with a little slice of tech pie. On a recent episode of Tectonic, I interviewed Villanova law professor Brett Frischman, co-author with Evan Selinger of the new book Reengineering Humanity, which describes how technology is slowly but surely manipulating us to act in more predictable ways, less intelligent ways, and ultimately re-engineering humans to act more and more like simple robots. In the interview, I described to Frischman my experience on the New York City subway, how people are like zombies, with their faces buried in their screens, paying no attention to the world around them, just scrolling endlessly through social media updates. I asked Frischman what people can do to combat the re-engineering of their humanity. Here's what he said.
If you ever feel like you're participating in someone else's script, or your behavior seems scripted, or you're incessantly checking the screen for notifications or for updates, step back and ask yourself, who wrote the script? What's your role when you participate in that process? Are you just passively going along with the flow because it's the easy thing to do? How might you escape or choose a different path, build a different world? It's one of the motivations for Evan and I to write the book, was just observing that sort of scenario, and lots of people observing that scenario, and saying, oh, we're being dehumanized. And so our reaction would be, well, how? Like, in what sense is that dehumanizing? And one of the responses is, well, look at everyone is behaving, like, in a very colloquial way. People say, well, people are behaving like machines, right? They're not engaging with each other. They're not talking to each other.
And that's your little slice of Tech Pie. This is Mark Hurst, host of Tectonic.
Boys, if you'd... come on now. Swing that spotlight around and shine it directly on one very special town in our listening area. Our Civic Showcase Community of the Week is Asbury Park, New Jersey. Now, Asbury Park's in Monmouth County. The population, 16,116, and it's shrinking. Asbury Park was named for Francis Asbury, the first American bishop of the Methodist Episcopal Church. Asbury Park was developed in 1871 as a resort by James A. Bradley. He was a New York brush manufacturer. He's the one who brought electricity to Asbury Park. James Bradley installed the Asbury Park boardwalk on the waterfront, an orchestra pavilion, and a pier at the south end of the boardwalk. In 1888, the Palace Merry-Go-Round was built by Ernest Schnitzler.
Wunderbar.
They say 600,000 people a year vacationed at Asbury Park in those halcyon years. They came by train from New York City and Philadelphia to enjoy the oceanfront in Asbury Park. Even today, you can see a lot of the Victorian architecture from back in the 1890s that still exists in Asbury Park. In the 1920s came the Paramount Theater and the Convention Hall Casino Arena, the Carousel House, and the state-of-the-art high school. In 1947, the Garden State Parkway opened. Vacationers took fewer trains to the seashore.
Have a great day with the entire family at Monmouth Mall.
In the 1950s, Monmouth Mall sprang up. It eroded downtown business in Asbury Park. There were fewer shoppers. The boardwalk declined. Riots broke out in July of 1970. Many buildings were destroyed in the southwest quadrant of the town. Even today, some of those blocks are not redeveloped. 21st century economic revival, spurred by an influx of artists, have begun to revitalize downtown Asbury Park.
Yeah.
Convention halls, condos, all are coming. Asbury Park's resurgence continues.
Yeah.
Asbury Park is famous for the Stone Pony, Bruce Springsteen, Bon Jovi, Southside Johnny, Patti Smith, The Clash, Johnny Thunders, The Ramones, all have played the pony. Asbury Park, we'd love to be your radio station. We hope you're listening. Station Manager Ken with your Hump Day Hazmat Report.
Thank you, Clay Pigeon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 9,000 barrels of bourbon crash to the ground when a wall collapses at the local hooch factory, intoxicating and killing hundreds of fish in nearby waterways. Hatboro, Pennsylvania. Car crashes inside the Hatboro Diner, forcing evacuation, leaving waitresses tipless again. Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Police are investigating 4 explosive devices at ATMs in the last 2 weeks. The homemade devices appear to be made by stuffing a cardboard tube with a flammable element and a wick, says one peace officer. If the objective is to breach the compartment where the money is held, this doesn't work, so stop! Tulare, California. Ammonia spill at the local cheese factory sends 2 to Visalia Hospital. Charlotte, North Carolina, overturned tractor trailer hauling 7,000 watermelons blocks the interstate. Seeds covering the roadway create a slippery mess. Traverse City, Michigan, a truck at Northwest Oil was carrying 300 gallons of waste and oil and more than 1,700 gallons of machine shop coolant when the poisonous dichotomous combination started smoking, bubbling, and belching. Allen County Jail, Indiana. 4 guards.
Hold it, Station Manager Ken. You're out of time. Tipless waitresses, bourbon-soaked fish, ammonia-soaked cheese, watermelon, blocked interstates. It's a dangerous world out there. I don't know, audience, do you think we need a bonus hazmat item today? They say yes.
Back to Allen County Jail, Indiana. 4 guards injured after inhaling fumes from a toilet. Prisoners were manufacturing something in the toilet. Spice, meth, gazpacho. When poisonous fumes overtook and incapacitated both guards and inmates.
We underestimate the danger of those toilet fumes. There you go. Thoughts and opinions on the topics that matter most to us. It's Quick Takes with Fabio. Bob, what's on your mind this week?
There's some seriously crappy music in the world.
Yeah.
And the place to hear it is in restaurants. Now, I don't know about you, but occasionally I like to go to a restaurant and have a meal with a friend or my wife or a family member, whatever.
We built this city on rock and roll.
Oh!
It doesn't matter how expensive or cheap or crappy or highfalutin or whatever the restaurant is, 9 times out of 10, they're going to be playing some god-awful, crappy music over the sound system. Sometimes really loud enough that you have to yell to speak with your dining partner.
Hey! Hey!
That is uncalled for and nonsensical. And I never have understood why restaurants don't, you know, give that a little bit of thought. I mean, it's not hard to come up with a playlist of really tasteful and, you know, easy music to listen to.
Here's a little song I wrote. You might want to sing it note for note. Don't worry, be happy.
It doesn't have to be easy listening music. It can be all kinds of music. It can even be rock music.
Yeah!
Yeah.
Oh!
But it should be well thought out, so so people don't have to yell, so people don't have to, aren't constantly, you know, being interrupted by some thumping techno music, for crying out loud.
How many people in this crowd have seen Molly?
That is one of the most annoying things every time I go to a restaurant. I goddamn hate it.
The crabbiest man alive, there's Fabio with your quick takes, restaurant music. What do you think? Does it bother you?
Good morning, listeners. Caroline Gollum here, senior contributor for ScreenSlate with your Movie Minute. When the mercury rises, I get a hankering to wander where the weather suits my clothes. If you're itching for a hitchin', catch a freight to Williamsburg Spectacle Theater for a screening of Rare Hobo documentary Long Gone. The 2003 film follows the lives of veteran hobos, tramps, and ramblers as they zigzag across this once great nation in pursuit of work, whimsy, and freedom. Soundtracked with original strummings by wannabe hobo Tom Waits, Long Gone rides alongside these fearless men and women who've cast off the reins of polite society in favor of a wandering life. Directors Jack Cahill and David Eberhardt embedded themselves with their subjects, taking pleasures and lumps in equal measure to craft an intimate portrait of this dying American art form. Long Gone has been long unavailable, so if you missed that train, be prepared to wait. Who knows when this delightful doc will come around again. Tonight's 10 p.m. screening will set you back a measly sawbuck, so bundle your bindle and thumb it on down to Spectacle Theater for a night of lonesome whistles and campfire camaraderie. For WFMU and ScreenSlate, this is Caroline Gollum, back next week with more cinematic goings-on. Until then, see you at the movies.
Ta-ta-ka-ta, June 26th. Geez, it's almost July. On this day in 1483, Richard III becomes King of England. King of England! 1927, the Cyclone roller coaster opens on Coney Island. 1927! 1936, the initial flight of the Focke Wulf FW-61, the first practical helicopter. It hasn't been around that long. 1948, Shirley Jackson's The Lottery is published in the New Yorker magazine. Did you ever read or see The Lottery? Boy, that's a great story. One of Stephen King's faves. 1974, the Universal Product Code is scanned for the first time to sell a package of Wrigley's chewing gum at the Marsh Supermarket in Troy, Ohio. And in 1977, Elvis Presley held his final concert in Indianapolis, Indiana, at Market Square Arena.
I do the chairs in your parlor seem empty and bare. Do you gaze at your bald head and wish you had hair?
Grab a harmony. Happy birthday to you. Birthdays, is it your birthday today, listener? If so, happy birthday from each and every one of us here at WFMU. You are in good company. Look at these names, birthdays today. Peter Lorre, born in this day, 1904, the great actor. Terry Towles are different. Colonel Tom Parker, speaking of Elvis, Colonel Tom, born this day, 1909. We lost him in 1997. Billy Davis Jr. of the Fifth Dimension, born this day, 1938, still kicking. Patti Smythe, not Patti Smith, but Patti Smythe of Scandal. Goodbye to you. I Am the Warrior, 1957. Great singer, actually, Patti Smythe. And Terry Nunn from Berlin. Happy birthday, born this day, 1961. Derek Jeter, the great ball player, Yankee. Born this day, 19...
74, pretty class act too. Made it through all those years unscathed. And that is your Today in History and your birthdays. It's funny because it actually was Patti Smyth, and then the soundbite I queued up was Patti Smith. So you know what? Here's your Patti Smith.
Freedom is inside of me. It means that I'm not hung up with, like, anybody's idea of how I should be. I'm outside of society. I'm an artist. Rock and roll is my art. I'm a of the universe. And I'm free because I can leap up and scream. I can put my fist up in the air. I don't give a shit, you know. I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of anything except fear itself. Collapse of the imagination. Otherwise, I feel pretty good.
You've been listening to the Wake and Bake Morning Show podcast. Did you enjoy it?
Yeah.
Good. It's a weekly digest of the special features and moments which make up the Wake and Bake Morning Show.
Woo!
After all, you wouldn't want to miss special moments like this. Ah, you're in a good mood today, aren't you?
Oh!
The Wake and Bake Morning Show. Set your alarm and join us each Monday through Friday, 6 to 9 a.m. on WFMU.org. A little too early for you? Catch the archive show, which you can find easily on WFMU's homepage each day. I'm Clay Pigeon. They call me the Pigeon. Join me each morning for the full show, either on the radio or online at WFMU.org. And keep listening.